Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black radio networks that explore solutions to issues in the black community. Presents Black Urban America. The dial-in number, if you have any questions or comments, is 516-531-9540, and you press 1. The lineup is, on Tuesday, you have myself, Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones. On Wednesday, we have The Cutting Edge with Rashawn Williams. On Thursday, we have Paul in Harlem with Wayne A. Young. On Saturday, we have Provocative Thought with Carter Sneed. All programs start at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the last couple of months, we have been discussing the black woman, how their superheroes, images, and their struggles. Tonight, we're going to focus on the brothers. Finally, we're going to talk about black men. But here's some things about us that's a little disturbing. Highest dropout rate in the United States. Highest prison population. Not involved with their families. How can we solve this? How can we get brothers to be responsible again? Tonight, we have a poet and a writer. And he's going to be discussing entrepreneurship for the black man. And his name is Mr. Dominic M. McDonald. Good evening, Mr. McDonald. How are you?
What's going on? Can you hear me out there?
Yes, I hear you. Mr. McDonald, I'd like to introduce you to my co-host. Her name is Michonne. Michonne, this is Mr. McDonald. He's an author and a poet.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing well. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you also.
Well, let's get right into it, Mr. McDonald. What is entrepreneurship? What is the definition of entrepreneurship?
So for me, entrepreneurship is really being in what I'm going to talk about a little bit later, and owner or investor, right? It is someone who makes their own schedule, who leaves their own legacy and builds their own dream. In a sense, if we're going to talk about it in the real terms and not, the technical terms.
Okay,
and
great.
I think, I was going to add additionally, entrepreneurship is an American right, in my personal theory, but we can go into that later.
Okay, no problem. Well, I know Rashawn got a few questions for you. I have several questions for you, and you go right from there. Well, let me ask you this. Why is it so difficult for black men to attain employment, or employers are eager to hire black men?
That's a loaded question. I'm going to lay the foundation of this, my perspective from this conversation as the black American experience being of one that is oppressed by white supremacy. Okay. I'm not going to use that as an overall excuse, but I'm going to recognize that that is there. Okay.
Well, it is a major dilemma.
It is a major dilemma, but it divides us upon perspective, right? Because some people, and some of your listeners may be, non-white, may be people who haven't experienced what it is to be black American, who will have their own critiques. And I want to say that those critiques are valid. Those aren't the ones that I necessarily subscribe to, but I'm trying to basically play both sides of the spectrum here. But the reason why it's so difficult is just our marketability right now. You know, we have so many opponents against us that if you get a chance to run the gambit of all of those people, you'll find yourself being one of the few. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of can sway and deter people from applying themselves totally, because now it's like, okay, it's either hopeless or I'm going to do it alone. So why bother?
Right. Well, how can you get a brother to go from poverty to entrepreneurship?
Right. So I'm going to talk about what I said previously. Entrepreneurship is an American right. Our right, country as citizens, is the freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay. So when you have someone saying, I love the work that you do, I can only pay you this certain amount, and you have to work these amount of hours in order for me to pay you, that doesn't sound like freedom. That doesn't sound like liberty. You know what I'm saying? When you are an entrepreneur, you make your own hours. You tell yourself how long you want to work. You come up with your own ways to make money. You know what I'm saying? Market yourself. You have the creativity and freedom to have financial gains in whatever way that suits you, whatever way is purpose to you based off of, you know what I'm saying, your talents, not what someone else is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. So should we start having our men thinking this way? Should we start encouraging our young men, like, to really start think about having your own, because have your own equal independence?
Yes, definitely. And we need to start telling our men, we need to stop telling our men to do what's safe. Right. And we need to start telling them to do what, you know, what God is telling you to do, whatever you feel purposeful in doing, because we have a habit of relying on someone else for our financial freedom. And in a sense, to me, that sounds like another form of, you know, some type of enslavement. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like child slavery or whatever, but like a mental enslavement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, of course. And to be honest, we're the one of the few cultures in America that have their own own businesses. We're one of the few cultures that have that. And other cultures, that's the first thing they do. And they start teaching their children at a young age, you know, start thinking about having your own, starting your own business and what have you. Don't depend on anyone else. How does one create their own market?
Well, what a lot of financial gurus that I follow and have had conversations with, they all agree that you have to sell to who's buying, right? And you have to sell to who's buying what you have. And what you have has to benefit what's called the marketplace. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you sell glow-in-the-dark tips of shoelaces if you could find a population out there who wants to have tips of their shoelaces to glow in the dark, you find them, get them together, and then you push and market to them. There is, kid you not, and if you didn't know this already, currently an Asian woman who makes millions of dollars to eat food on YouTube. Okay? You know, like, you know how your mom used to tell you, like, stop smacking your food and stuff like that?
Yes,
there's
yes.
Someone who is, it's called mukbang or something like that. I didn't know you could make millions of dollars by smacking food. You know what I'm saying? I used to get yelled at for doing that. But apparently
you see all kinds of behaviors on YouTube.
Right. Apparently there's a market for it and people are buying into it. So, you know, it's very easy. All you have to do is find out who is buying what you're selling.
Should entrepreneurship training be in predominantly black schools, in our black school,
yes,
high school? And why is that?
Here's the thing. Not everyone can be an entrepreneur, but everyone can run some type of business. I have a free wealth building class where I basically show you the pathways of what it is to be an employee versus being an entrepreneur. Now, you have certain protections when you're an employee. I think everyone wants to start off being an employee because that is, in a sense, your training. You learn customer service. You learn, you know, taxes. You know what I'm saying? You know that this money is going towards your health care and so on and so forth. And then you know, you learn it enough to know that that's not what you want to do. But for the people who are out there that want to do it, you know how to treat them. Because eventually, as an entrepreneur, you're going to have employees and you're going to have partners and a board of directors or whatever. So you have that perspective by starting off as an employee. I think that there needs to be, you know, basic life skills trainings that basically lets people become aware of both options, and whatever they feel the most comfortable with going, they should get support in whichever way they want to go.
Yeah. Okay, Michonne, go ahead.
Why do black people spend less money in black-owned businesses than other racial ethnic groups spend business owned by members of their groups?
Yeah, I was going to ask that later. It's a true
This is a great question. I currently live in Washington, D.C. on the southeast side. Okay. And
is that anywhere near the 7th Ward?
The 8th Ward. Is over here in Southeast D.C. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California, Inglewood specifically. So all of the businesses out here, whether it's food or, you know, beauty supply or whatever, are owned by non-black Americans. Okay?
True.
The black Americans work as employees in franchises, okay, because that's what's safe. So you have that going on. And it's kind of a double-edged sword, because when there is a black business, oftentimes, because they don't have the capital and financial support to make their price points competitive, they will mark up their price points, right? But not only will they mark up their price points to cover, you know, the cost of running their business, the customer service aspect is not the best. So they have to constantly do things to coax and get, new clients, because they're not doing great client retention with having good customer service. And I've seen this out here. I've seen this in Atlanta. I've seen it in a lot of places where there are a very big, you know, black population with a lot of black businesses. So, you know, it's something that we kind of got to get on one accord on.
Are black males that write down their goals and plans more successful than those who don't?
Yes. Definitely one of, because men are visually stimulated. So when we write down our goals, we're making a transformation from our minds to reality. Right. And the more that we see it, the more we have it in our lives, the more it reminds us of the direction that we should go in. It's funny because I had a friend tell me this 3 weeks ago, and my therapist told me last week to make a vision board. Okay. And, you know, first I thought vision boards was silly. I thought that was kind of like, you know, an activity that, you know, people do when they're bored or whatnot. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Maybe I do need to make a vision board because I'm so in my head a lot. I don't have anything to say, okay, I did this, I didn't do this, I'm 3 weeks away from doing that, I forgot about this and I need to come back. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I definitely recommend writing your goals. If you don't write your goals down, you run the risk of it being forgotten.
Well, let me ask you this. Getting back to entrepreneur training in the high schools, what type of curriculum should be geared to the black men in entrepreneurship training? You know, is the curriculum going to be traditional or should our curriculum be non-traditional or alternative?
It should be alternative. There should be, you know, two projects, one for the first semester to get them prepared for, you know, well, I guess if it's a senior class, and I think this really should be for second year juniors and both semesters for high school seniors. Right, because that's when you get of age to actually start working, and now you're thinking about making your own money and what you want to do with the rest of your life. But there should be like one big project of either finding a business that you like and contributing to make it better, or making your own business, okay, and then finding out how to start from scratch. The teacher should be there to help facilitate and give, you know, different resources, but they need to learn things like supply and demand, you know, return on investment, beginning costs, you know, and these are things that I have too in my free course as well. But there's a lot of math. There's writing, because you have to know how to write a business plan, because you're going to be attracting investors, all right?
How old are your students?
Are my personal students?
Yeah. What's the average age?
They range. The average age is about.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. I got a scenario. Let's say I'm 14, 15. But I'm a little brother of one of your participants, right? I'm 14, 15 year old, teenage black male. And you see me, you come to me and you say, hey, young brother, you know, what would you like to do when you become an adult or when you graduate from high school? I don't know. Well, have you ever thought about having your own business? No. Would you like to own your own business? I don't know. How would you encourage that young black man to start looking towards becoming an entrepreneur? And he don't want to go to college, he don't want to go military, and he doesn't know, but he had a critical age of 14, 15 years old.
Okay, so I would take him to the inner city street corners and have him see, and maybe even, you know, talk to, if I'm cool with the people, those individuals, and ask them, you know, where were they at when they were his age? Because for the youth, they have to see where they don't want to be, unfortunately. The reason why I've done so much in my life is because I saw negative aspects of different things, and I was like, oh, I definitely don't want to do that. How can I not do that? Okay, then we can have a conversation. So if you don't want to do that, that means you're going to have to, you know, spend some time studying this. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to, you know, find a mentor who's going to take you around and show you different things. You know, you give them just a little bit so they are wanting more and going in the right direction. But I think the first thing that you got to do
black
is show
male them. Do we have black male mentors available today? Because a lot of grown black men don't want to work with young black men. And a lot of young black men don't want assistance for older black men. That looked like in the past 10 years, that's been the trend. It's been a lot of rift between the young and the older black men.
Man, brother, you bring up such a great point, and I was thinking about this today because I'm in a fraternity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of my...
See, I just came off the front. I just retired from the front lines. So I see it right on the street level.
Yeah. Yeah.
In
so,
its rawness. In its rawness.
And what one of my big brothers, he said, I'm in a fraternity. There's no reason I should be broke. Right? And if you think about it, that is supposed to be the return in investment. That's what you go through all of the, you know what I'm saying, what the media says, and I'm not saying it's true or not true because, you know, got to protect the brand. But you still at least have to do your research. You have to apply. You have to go to meetings, you know what I'm saying, do things that you are slightly inconvenienced by with the return that my quality of life is going to improve. However, that was not a part of my experience, and I see it not a part of a lot of young black men's experience. And I wonder, like, damn, even an organization that's based off organizational leadership can't get it right. And it's a sad fact that, you know, the effects of white supremacy have been so great that they've expanded upon multiple generations.
Right.
You know, because you have the boomers, you know what I'm saying, who did what they needed to do, you know what I'm saying? People like my grandfather who was in service, was able to get, you know, two properties, had a storefront property, property that we still have today, and then make sure that the generation after that, which is my father, didn't squander it, you know what I'm saying, didn't, you know, play the fast life. And then now it was, you know, his responsibility to show, you know, but to show me the proper way as far as entrepreneurship and so on and so forth. But
well, Brother McDonald, let me tell you something. A big percentage of our young black men are being led by single mothers, and they really don't have any contacts. You were fortunate. You got grandfather, father, yourself. That's three generations. Well, in an average black family, 72.9% of black families are headed by women. And a large percentage of that 72% don't have any type of, how I say, positive images, positive black male images in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's such an increase of the feminization of the young black man, because they don't have any content. If they don't play sports, they may not have, unless it's police officers or security guards and maybe one or two teachers, Otherwise than that,
right.
That's it. I mean, that's close to them. That's in their see on a daily basis, that they're exposed to on a daily basis.
Right, right. Yeah, and that is a conversation that's going to have to be, you know, and each one teach one type of thing. In my, mm-hmm. Because, you know, I personally, and I will say I was privileged in those statistics to have an uncle who went to college and said, like, hey, you're not about to hang out after school with your homies and do nothing. Come with me to the library. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was on a college library, like, oh, snap, this can be accessible to me. Like, I can go to class anytime I want and don't have to hear a school bell. You know what I'm saying? So that piqued my interest of doing that. But you're right. Not everybody has that. My actual father in my life, not everybody has that. So we do need to have, not just in schools, and I used to work in parks and recreation. We need to have those people in, you know, public parks as well, where the kids are hanging out at and saying, like, hey, you know, if y'all don't want to do, you know, sports or take sports route or the you know what I'm saying, music industry route, I can teach you about, you know, I teach you about money because everybody's interested in money, right? Then you kind of go into the specifics of how you make money work for you. But
right.
We need to be on the front lines everywhere. You know what I'm saying? If we're not in the homes, you know, being a mentor to kids, then we need to be in the schools. If we're not in the schools, then we need to be in the public parks and the places where the kids are going, because if not, then they're just going to be just out here.
What would you do? You're very close to Baltimore. Baltimore is having some serious, serious problems. What would you do to the men, the brothers over there in Baltimore?
Well, for this generation of youth, I'm a big believer in, you know, edutaining. You know what I'm saying? So, and I can kind of loop the poetry piece in there as well. So, you know, with my poetry open mic, I'm able to use a platform that people are interested in that takes elements of hip hop, you know, the spoken word, and
yes.
Put messages in there that.
So you have a tool. You have a tool that they're gravitating towards, and you can hook them right there with that spoken word, because them young folks love that
right.
Spoken word.
Right, because they're not going to listen to a politician give a 10 to 15 minute speech. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
A 10 to span is too short. They'll listen to a 2 to 3 minute piece, you know, that's going to be like, oh, wait, this person is like talking about something, or they said something I don't understand. Let me go back and, you know, see what that really means and do my research, you know. So that's a way. Also, you know, if there are some, you know, young rappers or influencers out there, have
today.
Something that
not
is collaborative.
Today. Not today. Maybe my day.
Not today.
But not today. We don't have no more public.
I mean, I'm not.
We don't have no more KRS. We don't have no more Rakim. We just don't have them. We don't have no more. What's that boy's name? Slick Rick. We just don't have them. We just don't have them. Everybody is talking about fast money. You know, getting the bag, get and getting a woman. And women and smoking. That is the image that they portray to our young men. And they eat it right up.
Yeah. And
We don't have no more Bill Cosby shows. We don't have no more A Different World. We don't have no more of those type of shows that show positive images of black men and young black men. That's a wrap.
That is true.
But we don't. They either cheating on their woman, or they're doing some hustle hustle. This is what they see. And then they transfer that behavior out there on the street and say, well, this is the way they expect me to behave. And see, and that should be a part of the entrepreneurship training, who you are. What is your image? What is your thinking process? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's why I say alternative training that's different from the traditional training. I'm sorry, Michonne, go ahead.
Are venture capitalists racist?
Are venture capitalists racist?
Michonne, you're a capitalist. What are you talking about? Hold up. Michonne, you're a capitalist. What are you talking about?
They have been, and I kind of felt this coming up in this conversation. They have benefited off of practices of systemic racism.
Yeah.
I am someone who believes in, conscious capitalism, because unless we just go off the grid and do our own thing, we have to play the game a little bit. And, you know, we've done that before and try to do our own thing when segregation happens, and then you see we have the proper protection and our stuff got ready and we were back to, square one. So I feel like in order to secure our protection, there are some things that we need to use for our empowerment. And I think that we can do a system of checks and balances to make sure that, you know, that power isn't extended. But I wouldn't call everyone who is, you know, a venture capitalist, racist. I will say that they have benefited off of a racist system. No, yes.
Capitalism is racism. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michonne.
Okay. Are there multiple challenges to buying black?
He said, are there multiple challenges to buying black?
Yes.
I don't think there are any challenges to buying black, to be honest with you, because if you're in a position to where you can sell something and someone wants to buy it, then you've already won. You know what I'm saying? I think, though, it's the other aspects that come into play that make the experience not great. You know what I'm saying? Like, not having, you know, if there's an issue and you're getting an order wrong, the turnaround times being, you know, months off, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, different types of money, you know, mismanagement and things like that. I don't want to associate that, though, with buying black. That's dealing with someone who doesn't know how to do business well. You know what I'm saying? They mean well, and, you know, they are profiting off of the fact that it's a black-owned business. But we also have to hold our people accountable and say, if it's not a good business, it's not a good business.
Right. So I've had challenges attempting to buy black, literally. It's why I asked that. Like, for example, like, it was certain stores in Chicago. There's a lot of black businesses. But there are stores who have, like, say a store that sells clothes. And they have clothing stores that sell clothes that you won't find in any malls or anything. And they are gorgeous. Like, stuff you won't see anywhere else. But when you get ready to go into the store, if you want to go and buy one, you got to go through 20 men begging for change, standing in your door, in the doorway, where you have to be like, excuse me, to get through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to rob you on the way in or on the way out. They're selling drugs right there.
That's an infrastructure problem. That's an infrastructure problem. And that is probably that particular owner setting up his business where he knows, or where they know that they can get cheaper rent. Because if it was, you know, in any, you know, predominantly white neighborhood, it would be a different conversation. But oftentimes, like I said, which is not a challenge of buying black, it's a challenge of being a black business. We don't have the capital to be like, okay, we have a year of startup funds to put us in a place we get the proper foot traffic, you know, where our clients and our customers feel safe, where they have good access to parking.
Okay, these businesses, because I did know the owners, they own their buildings and everything. I mean, these people 100% own the places where they had businesses. I mean, I've had problems like going to restaurants and their business hours, they're not open. I've had problems going to hair shops that were black owned and they open up at 9 o'clock. At 11:30, they're still not open. I mean, it makes it hard. They're trying to do businesses, but I mean, you want to spend your money where somebody black, and then you need something, and you need want to go to their hair shop, but they're not opening, so you run over to Sally's, who's white-owned corporate, because they might have what you want because you couldn't get it from a black person, which you would prefer to give the black person your money. So how can we help those black people get to be responsible business owners, basically?
Right. So I'm gonna pivot that into, we also have to hold our businesses accountable. You know what I'm saying? Just like we hold government officials accountable, just like we hold politicians accountable, just like we hold the president accountable. There's Yelp. There's, you know what I'm saying, Google Maps. There's all of the customer has actually more power today than they've done several years ago. And we need to stop, you know, saying like, oh, well, they're trying their best. Oh, well, this is a black-owned business. It's like, no, if you're not making it, then you need some time off. You need to get it together. And the, you know, clients are going to represent that with them taking their dollars away. I'm all about the bottom line and fair game. You know what I'm saying? Much like if it was, you know, a business that was owned by any other ethnicity and their food was terrible and you always had, you know what I'm saying, issues and, you know, there's a protest and, you know what I'm saying, we're not going to buy there anymore and so on and so forth. Like, we need to do the same thing when it's up. But again, I wouldn't call that a black issue. I would call that a bad ownership issue.
Okay. I could see that. I have another question. Why don't black men start businesses at higher rates or at the same rate as black women?
This is a good question.
You know, black women have more opportunities.
I'm gonna get into that. I search on my social media. I look on Eventbrite. I'm scrolling on Facebook almost every month, every other month. What do I see? Women empowerment brunches. You know what I'm saying? Women empowerment symposium. And I see nothing for black men. On the reverse side, and this is actually pretty sad. I'm sad to admit this. I tried to create one out here with a black pastor. And I was told, you know, I don't really see the value in doing
it. Well, McDonald, I'm going to tell you something. Today's Black Panther is not like yesterday's Black Panther. I know that for these today's Black Panthers, all they like to do is walk around in their black coffin and wear their pistol. That's it. I mean, come on. I mean, the average. I mean, there are some Black Panther, today, new Black Panther parties, organizations in this country that are doing something on the community level. There are some, but not like on the macro level back in the 60s. No, they're not doing that. They All they talk about is guns and stuff like that, and marching with their guns, which is not creating any type of strategy to address our issues in our communities. We have 124 black communities in the United States now. And a lot of these communities, a lot of our communities are similar, whether it be on the West Coast, the South, the North, East, Midwest, Mid-East, you know, they're very similar. And you cannot expect today's Black Panthers have the energy and the vibrations like the brothers and sisters in the 60s. That's just my observation.
And you know what,
how I know this, Bishan know this. I say this all the time. My brother, God rest his soul, was a Black Panther. They used to have meetings in my house when I was like 7, 8 years old. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, but they sure looked good, and they were on them streets. So, and compared those brothers with these brothers and sisters today, I think more sisters in the Black Panthers are doing more than the brothers in the Black Panthers are doing.
Well, you're seeing, and like I said, there's a lot of different factors that come into this. I'm going to jump back and say to the point of we were talking about the lack of mentorship and basically reaching the hand down, right? And it's the scarcity mindset, right? The scarcity mindset that has been put into black men to say, it's only enough for me to take care of what I got going on. Everybody else is going to get it how they get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Women don't do that. Women, to a larger extent, you know, and there might be some pettiness or cattiness there, but what you will see is you'll see the sisterhood. You'll see the empowerment movements and stuff like that because they can
get together. And the conferences and the workshops.
Yeah. Yeah. They get together in the spirit of doing something greater than themselves, right? And there's no sexuality thing stigmatized about it. There's no, you know what I'm saying, there's no ego about it. And we just haven't gotten to that point because of that scarcity, because we don't think that, oh, there's enough for all of us. You know what I'm saying? And that comes from that hustler mentality as well. Like, I got to get it, and I'm going to do it how I need to do it to survive, and it's either get down or lay down, you know. So that's one part of it. The other part is that we're seeing in the media the black male decentered through, you know, different efforts of third wave feminism. And the argument is like, okay, well, when you do get the opportunity to be in leadership, they always find some way to negate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, there's a, you know, scandal here, or, you know, you don't treat this other person of this community fair, and so on and so forth. So, you know, unfortunately, and I don't want to get into, you know, different things and nitpick, but that happens as well. So, like I said, it's a lot of factors, but it's the scarcity mindset and the fact that we're seeing the black men decentered in the media.
What happened to the brother?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What happened to brotherhood in the black community?
Well, if they stop calling each other the N-word, maybe we could have brotherhood. Let's start with that, how we perceive each other. I'm sorry, Brother McDonald, just, but that question right there, I ain't saying I've seen it all, but I've seen a lot. And the way we treat each other and the disrespect. And that's what I was saying earlier, which is Brother McDonald, in your training and entrepreneur training, got to learn about self, who the black man is. Black man got to know that they are the original man. They're the ones who created civilization. They are the original inventors and stuff. And they're supposed to be the head of the family. They got to stop thinking, well, I got two women pregnant. I'm a man. You got to think, you got to know what a man is first. And a lot of our brothers do not know what the definition of man is. Not like the brothers from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. I'm just saying, it starts with a little simple thing like that. Define who you are, what you are, what your purpose is here. It's not just to have baby mamas and smoke blunts.
Their mindset, what they think about themselves, how they value themselves or devalue themselves by the actions that they're taking.
Right. So there is a YouTube video lecture called Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys by Dr. Jwanza Kanjufu.
Yes. You know how old that book is? That book came out in the early 80s. It's a four-book series.
Right, and when I saw the lecture was filmed in 87. I was born in 88. I cried at the end of it because I saw my whole life played out before my eyes, before I was born. Definitely, anyone is listening who considers themselves a part of the movement that is the Black American experience, I definitely charge you to watch that. But there is a lack of rites of passage. You know what I'm saying? Because to your point that you were saying about a lot of boys growing up in single mother households, well, the mom is saying, well, you're the man of the house. And
at 10 years
therefore,
old.
Right. And the same thing happened to me. And it's like, you can't possibly be that way because you haven't matured yet. You haven't applied knowledge. You haven't defined your wisdom, so you don't know what it is to really be a man, and then you grow up and your development is stagnant. You know what I'm saying? To the point where it's like you think a man is doing things that a boy would do, and now you're telling the world and beating your chest that you're a man because you've been told that your whole life. And it's like you don't even scientifically develop the last piece of your brain until the age of 25.
Right.
Right. And the average man
don't become mature until you say 30, 35, because the woman's more mature than the man by 7 years. That was scientists saying 7 to 10 years more advanced.
Right. But you were talking about, you're talking about the brotherhood, and it's like we have to understand that the numbers are against us right now. There's no, because I'm from LA, you know what I'm saying, land of the gang. You talked about Chicago has gangs too. It's not our
Chicago
side versus your side.
I think Chicago beat LA out now. I think Chicago beat,
yeah.
Chicago got like over 350 murders this year, black on black killings.
They probably got
Probably got more.
They just got shot up. They didn't die.
Right. And the mindset is not our side versus your side anymore. Because we don't have the luxury of saying that. You know, there are people who are waiting for us to get us down to the numbers that, you know, the Native Americans are at now. You know what I'm saying? To where, you know, we're really just kind of mixed and blended in, but we're not really like Black American, you know, it's people who are waiting to do that. Right. And if you sit down and have conversations with people, you'll understand how much they don't know their history and they don't know who they are and what the plan is. The plan is already set for them. Like I said, I saw a video that was made before I was born, and the plan was set before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
That's some like mind blowing stuff. And you know, we're not really talking about that.
Let me ask you this, Brother McDonald. How would the black community benefit from more entrepreneurs than black men?
We would benefit because we would have the black man in his place of leadership. Okay? I don't want to say rightful place because
you can say that. We're supposed to be leaders.
Okay. All right.
The man's supposed to be the leader of his family. The man's supposed to be the leader of his community. But because our behavior over the past 25 years, our image has diminished. They don't expect us to be leaders now. They expect us to go away for 5 to 10 years. They expect us to hang out on the corner. They expect us to kill each other. They expect us to be irresponsible.
Right.
We have lowered the bar for our brothers. We got to raise that bar back up. Say, look, this is who you're supposed to become, and you got to work your way towards that.
Right, and we have to direct the strength and resilience of the black man in the right direction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Be strong because you can put hours in towards, you know, bettering your quality of life, bettering your community, not that you are putting your hours into trying to get a check at, you know, saying Amazon or Coca-Cola, who by the time you turn 65, you still gonna have to be working for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Put the strength and the creativity into creating, you know, the next device that we need, and not, you know, I'm out here hustling on the block waiting for the government to take all the money that I don't worked on. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what people don't realize, that you're not beating the government, okay? You're not beating the police. They got you beat, you know. And the real, you know, kingpins and stuff like that, I will tell you, you would have to have a level of entrepreneurship just to get to that level, right? So, you know, people think like they're going to be able to take the easy way out in nickel and dime. It's going to come back on the end, and it's not going to come back in their favor. So they better off putting their skills and their time and their purpose into something that is going to sustain and something that they rightfully needed to be doing in the first place.
Okay. Well, Brother McDonald, with the couple minutes we have left, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, some of the stuff that you're doing in D.C.?
Right. So I have a book out. It's called The Love Song of Dean Earn McDonald. It's available on Amazon, lulu.com. I'm on Facebook, Dominic Nern McDonald. Also on Instagram, Nerd Raps, and Twitter, Nerd the Poet. I host the open mic out here every first and third Sunday. I'm also getting into wealth building and entrepreneurship for creatives. So people who are deciding that they are creatives, but they want to take it to the next level as far as doing their own management, you know, because I've done my own poetry book tours. I've done my own events. I've been a part of, you know, city events, city plannings, and different things like that. If you want to get the course, you can send me an email at thenerd@gmail.com. That's thenerd@gmail.com. That's going to be free until the end of the year because it's in a beta test right now. After that, the price is going to go up. So you definitely want to get that free course now. Other than that, I'm really just trying to build and collaborate because I can't do this alone. I don't want to do this alone. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm glad I'm on, shows like these. That way I can reach out to different people from across the U.S. who are saying, all right, we want to take things back to where they needed to be. You know what I'm saying? We want to find strategies and beat these systems that were made to keep us down.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for coming on the show, Brother McDonald. I really appreciate our conversation. Michonne, what's happening tomorrow night?
I have an entrepreneur that's going to be on.
Oh, this is Entrepreneur Week?
Yeah.
Okay. What's his name?
So it's a her.
Huh?
It's a female entrepreneur.
Oh,
she's awesome.
What's her name?
Yeah, her name is Jerry Muhammad. She's an author.
Jerry.
She makes her own seasonings and things like that she has.
Really?
Sells. Yes. She's doing a lot. So I'm going to have her
me,
on tomorrow.
Text me her name and stuff tonight.
Okay.
So in the morning I could do the fly, or I might do it tonight.
Okay.
All right. Hey, again,
shout out,
thank everyone for listening. I know y'all listening out there, but y'all scared to call in and ask questions, but that's okay. Y'all get some nerve up. Again, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's one strategy of working on the black man. It's entrepreneurship. I think having our own businesses are very important. I think that is a part of independence. And that's what we need. Okay, as always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.
Good night. Night.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.